Odyssey celebrates Father's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
The WBEN All Local.
All Local.
A daily look at what's happening in Buffalo, Western New York, and the world.
I'm Susan Rose.
I'm Brian Mazurowski.
Another rough night for the Sabres.
And that goes up into the air, and now a possible 3-on-1 for Montreal. The other way, it's a 2-on-1. Deneau carries, far side, Lyon sprawling, the puck comes back to him, he can't hold it, he scores! Right in front of the net, Kirby Dach picks up the loose puck, and a counter punch by Montreal as the Sabres push, and it's a 5-2 Montreal lead.
6-2, the final. Buffalo falls to Montreal.
Canadiens now lead the series 2-1. Here's Lindy Ruff after the game.
We've made some uncharacteristic decisions with the puck that we haven't made, you know, even through the 6 games with Boston. You look at the one goal, easy play in the neutral zone. It should be an easy pass to Krebs. We missed the player by a big amount. They go the other way, and it's in the back of our net. Our puck play, I've talked about that the first couple games. Our puck play still isn't to a level that I'd like it.
Yeah, well, a lot of fans thinking the same thing. Tage Thompson, on where the team goes from here.
Well, I mean, we've been doing it all year. We've had our backs against a wall, you know, the entire season, and dug ourselves out of a hole and found a way. And, it's not something that is foreign to us by any means.
Yeah, well, Sabres need to get it back on track. You know, Tage Thompson there mentioning, you know, having your back against the wall, not something that's foreign to you. I was looking in the past. I'm like, all right, well, we know it's obviously been a long time since the Sabres have been in the playoffs. And they haven't won a series in a long time until just a week or so ago. 1999, round two. That's where you have to go back to the last time the Sabres trailed in a series and won the series.
Okay.
1999.
Who
they
did we
lost
face?
Game one to Boston in round two of 99, okay. And then went on, I think we won in 5 or 6, just kind of steamrolled them after that. Lost game one, came back and won. That's the last time the Sabres have trailed in the series and still won.
Lindy needs to show them that.
That's
right.
That's what he was there.
I mean, right. So come on.
Oh, man.
Sabres fans are trying to hold it together with game four coming up for tomorrow. We asked him, what's the key?
I don't know. I really like that line with Benson and Norris. I love Krebs. I think he should be on the ice more. He's a tiny little fighter, and he can be all scrappy. But I just feel like we need to play more as a team. If they trust each other, then they'll take the dub.
You know, even Benson, as much as he tried, Friday night he shined while the rest of them really didn't. But
yeah,
last night, even Benson had trouble.
The whole team really is struggling to get anything going. They need to turn this around quickly. Game four, tomorrow night in Montreal. Puck drops just after 7 o'clock.
Oil prices surge after President Trump rejects Iran's latest response to a U.S. peace offer.
The price of crude oil jumped again this morning, staying at the high levels we've seen since the start of Operation Epic Fury. Markets responding to pessimism over potential peace between the United States and Iran. President Trump yesterday said Iran's latest proposal was totally unacceptable. According to Iranian state media, Tehran's demanding compensation for war damage, and the Iranians say they should have sovereignty over the Strait of Hormuz. The Wall Street Journal reports Iran's also refusing to meet American demands over its nuclear program. Jonathan Savage, Fox News.
All right, gas prices around here, $4.56 a gallon this morning. That's up 15 cents just in the past week.
Mm-hmm. Going up. You see it everywhere across Western New York, those signs keep going higher and higher every single day. Well, the state budget is nearing completion in Albany, and it appears part of the policy inside will impact housing construction. WBEN's Jim Fink is here with more.
Could the review process logjam that bogs down so many housing developments be changed once Kathy Hochul's Let Them Build initiative relaxes some of the state-mandated seeker requirements? Maybe or maybe not, says Phil Nanula, Essex Home CEO.
Once we see the full description of what that entails, then we'll be able to tell just how much it's going to be able to help us.
As proposed, certain state mandates under the 50-year-old seeker process may be waived if they duplicate what is already needed on the local level. The key, though, is to loosen up some of the outdated mandates that the state put into place in the 1970s and really aren't relevant today. The new state exemptions could cover housing developments with 100 or less units in suburban or outlying areas, or 300 and less units in urban areas. Nunulu, however, said he needs to read the fine print first.
It's definitely a step in the right direction, being that there's so many levels of red tape in New York State to try to improve. But we never argue with steps in the right direction.
For now, it remains a wait-and-see moment. This is Jim Fink for WBEN.com News.
Jim, thank you. A plane carrying 17 Americans from the Hantavirus cruise ship arriving in Nebraska overnight. U.S. health officials now saying one of the Americans has tested positive and another is having symptoms.
The CDC has previously said there will be no mandatory quarantine for the people not showing hantavirus symptoms. They'll be allowed to either go home or self-monitor for 42 days or stay at the quarantine center. It remains to be seen if that will change now, given at least one positive case has been confirmed among the group. Experts emphasize this outbreak is not like the early days of COVID, and this virus is not new.
That's Lionel Moyes, but 42 days of isolation and monitoring is ahead for these people.
Oh, wow. Well, an Illinois museum is fighting a New York City violation ticket that was issued to one of their exhibits.
The Volo Museum got a traffic ticket for one of its vehicles in the mail, but the car hasn't moved in years. The Popular Automotive Museum shared the ticket they got in the mail from the New York City Police Department of Finance. They sent a $50 ticket after they say Knight Rider's kit vehicle went 11 miles over the speed limit. The museum says the New York City official system must have connected the novelty plates in the picture to the car. The Volo Museum shared a picture of their security footage with CBS News Chicago. It's dated at the exact time of that speeding ticket. It shows the car parked there. The museum tells us they requested a hearing about the ticket.
Oh, that's a good one. Knight Rider. Wow.
It's Chris Ty with the report, but can you imagine? I mean,
no.
They're getting tickets so wrong. They're sending tickets to cars that have been in a museum for years.
Yeah, not moving.
Nope, wasn't me.
NASCAR racing at Watkins Glen in May for the first time, and next year it'll be part of the playoffs in September.
NASCAR's road course races have become very predictable.
Checkered flag, Shane Van Gisbergen is the master of NASCAR road racing.
Courtesy FS1, Van Gisbergen took the checkered flag for the seventh time in his career, all on road courses since 2023. He beat second place Michael McDowell by more than 7 seconds. Ty Gibbs was third. SVG now ranks third all-time in road course wins behind Jeff Gordon and Tony Stewart. The top of the points race remains the same. Tyler Reddick, Denny Hamlin, and Chase Elliott running 1-2-3. I'm Tim McMaster, Fox News.
Okay, Watkins Glen, big trip for a lot of NASCAR fans here in Western New York. Wonder how many people were out there.
Odyssey celebrates Father's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Exclusive WBEN 7 weather forecast calls for partly sunny skies this afternoon, staying cool with highs in the low 50s. Mainly clear tonight, widespread frost developing and overnight lows dropping down into the mid-30s. Mostly sunny early tomorrow, a chance of showers towards sunset. We'll see highs in the upper 50s. Look for occasional rain and a few thundershowers on Wednesday with highs near 60 degrees. With the exclusive WBEN 7 weather forecast, I'm meteorologist Mary Beth Roble.
Leah Halton-Pope is on the Bison Automotive Live Line. She's the Ellicott District Council member, Council Majority Leader, and we're looking at the budget process in Buffalo, which is continuing. We received a report late Friday from the state comptroller. Thomas DiNapoli's office puts the Buffalo deficit at $103 million, which is slightly less than Mayor Ryan's projected $109 million deficit. Leah, what is your reaction to that, and does it bring any clarity to what the council has to do in the next 2 weeks?
I think what it, honestly, what it says, obviously, is that the problem is real, but the fixes that are being proposed are risky, incomplete, and dependent still on some assumptions. And so it still says that Buffalo has been and is continuing to rely on these one-shot revenues. So at this point, we have to make some hard decisions about how we're going to fix a lot of these expenditures and dealing with our issues.
Now, I believe you had said this to us. We've certainly heard it from other council members that you really were waiting for this audit and these numbers from the comptroller to really dive into that tax increase and some of the other numbers inside of the mayor's proposed budget. Do you feel like you have the tools to do that now? What are you thinking now about the mayor's budget now that you've seen this?
I think, obviously, it confirms that, obviously, like I said, the problem is real, but the tax increase alone isn't going to solve the problem, and I think that's what needed to be dealt with. It clearly says that raising the taxes doesn't automatically fix Buffalo's structural imbalance, and it warns us that recurring spending growth, weak revenue growth, and the historic budget practices are leaving us vulnerable. So we're going to have to make some harder decisions to deal with our issues. Specifically, we're going to have to examine aggressively, which we are doing, the staffing growth, which there's plenty in this budget, administrative expansion, that increased by 1.9 million, recurring versus that one-time revenue hits that we keep seeing. We have a lot of capital in our budget versus the operating expenditures. We don't have a plan for reserves. That hasn't happened. We have to deal with overtime. We have to deal with some of these vacancy assumptions. And obviously, we have some labor obligations that we have to follow through.
You know, many council members in the last few weeks were hoping to lower the tax levy increase. But now that we have the comptroller's report, what does it mean for that 25.8% tax levy increase?
Well, I think there's still a possibility, right, with some of these revenue assumptions that are in there. And let's keep in mind that the comptroller did say that they were going to do a quick assessment of it. They didn't have time to go longer into it. But there are some expenditure or some revenues that are not real, but there are plenty of expenditures that we can still cut. I think there's almost $21 million in capital. We may not be able to cut it all, but there's an opportunity. And just cutting that by itself can reduce the tax burden on our constituents. So I think we're going to look at all possible avenues. There are a lot of salary increases across the board that aren't consistent for every person in every department, though the titles are the same. And so we have to think through whether or not we go back or we stay where we are. There's a lot to consider at this point.
Yeah,
when
you talk about some of those salary increases, if you're looking to cut, from what you've seen inside the mayor's budget, how much of that is going to be, you know, things that the city's been doing that you may cut back on versus some of these new expenses that you believe could be cut back?
How much? I think if you go back to some of the previous salaries, that's going to be a significant cut because those increases just happened with the new administration. And then the expansion of positions doesn't make sense. If you're not actually adding to the services of the city, then I don't know why we would keep them. If you're not revenue generating, I don't know why we would have added those positions. If it's not helping our constituents and taxpayers, it's unconscionable to think that I would increase taxes and lower the ability for people to get better services. And so we've got a lot of work to do. And I think my colleagues and I are really, really being intentional and going line by line right now and figuring out what we need to do, what we can do. And we've asked, I know I certainly have asked very deliberate questions about every single item in the budget.
You know, at the same time, the city comptroller, Barbara Miller Williams, is continuing to appeal a court ruling regarding the city budget. How much is that costing the city?
It does have some expenses because there's outside counsel that's attached to it. And, if we keep using outside counsel for everything, there's a desire to use outside counsel even for our contract negotiations now. And that, to me, has me very concerned. I would love for this situation to finally get resolved. I really would.
Is it going to get resolved? I mean, it's gone on for so long at this point. Oh, I think everyone's kind of shocked that it's still dragging on.
Yeah, I don't think the zero-sum impact is helpful for the city at all. I think it detracts. It's definitely impacting some of the capital projects that we need to get done. But I do have a pretty good relationship with the controller, and I'm hopeful that we can get this done and dealt with so we can finally move forward and stop costing more money.
Leah, thanks for joining us this morning and updating us.
That's the WBEN All Local. All new episodes are made available each weekday morning, produced by the award-winning WBEN Newsroom.
Odyssey celebrates Father's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.